Anya snapped awake, where she lay on her bunk, fully clothed atop the taut blanket. The door had been unlocked. She waited tensely in the dark. Looking at her watch, she saw several hours had passed. She rose and walked to the door. The gangway outside was lit by dim and dingy bulbs. It was empty. Anya stood a moment, looking up and down the corridor. Then she turned and re-entered the cabin. Stripping to her panties and sports bra, she got ready for bed. She knew it wouldn't take long before she fell into a deep, untroubled sleep. Almost anticlimactically, the Rimba Parak commandos proved as good as their word. The next morning was overcast, with squalls walking all around the ship and sometimes swirling them in sheets of rain. Her door remained unlocked. No one had tried to stop her going up on deck. She had spent the day exercising and talking to the commandos. They were surprised but pleased when she showed interest in their weapons. The rifles were called SAR-21s, 5.56mm NATO weapons made by Singapore Technologies Kinetics. The machine guns also came from ST Kinetics, also in 5.56mm. They were called Ultimax 100, after the 100-round box magazines they used. The commandos seemed especially fascinated at how knowledgeably Anya handled the firearms, although she had never seen these particular designs before. She sat with a half dozen of the commandos in the late afternoon, sheltering from the wind and spray on the aft deck close behind the superstructure. Bima seemed to have appointed himself her guide and watchdog. He had been absurdly pleased when Anya had signed the promised autograph for him after he showed her to her cabin the night before. He had a cheerful puppy air to him. His eager youth reminded her of the American-born knight Sharshak, although Sharshak was a good deal more earnest. She harbored a vagrant wish the two might meet each other.
We buy much of our equipment from Singapore. It is very good, most modern.
What about the swords?
The men looked at one another nervously. Then Bima unslung his scabbarded weapon from his back. Holding the sheath, he presented its curved hilt to her. She slipped her fingers inside the slim knuckle bow. A curved weapon with a single edge, it resembled a scimitar. The blade, about 2 feet in length, widened steadily from guard to angled tip. Its balance was clearly intended for slashing. To her surprise, the hilt was neoprene. The sword felt good to Anya's experienced hand.
It is the Parang Napur. It is the traditional weapon of Borneo.
Borneo, Anya had learned, was the island where the Sultanate of Rimba Perak was located. The Sultanate had broken away from Indonesia about a decade before. She turned the weapon in her hand, then rolled her wrists, doing a slow-motion sort of figure-eight pattern favored for stick or swordplay. The small, hard, smooth-faced man looked on with wide, appreciative eyes.
A fine weapon. A weapon for a warrior.
Anya ate dinner with several of the men, including Mahmood and the inevitable Bima. Mahmood told her he had a wife and two daughters. He wanted to take them to Disneyland in California. He was a pleasant, if somewhat harried, man in his early 30s. The commandos treated him with affectionate respect. After they finished a meal of steamed fish and rice, with peanut sauce and fierce red chilies, Anya had entertained them with stories about shooting Chasing History's monsters in exotic locales. Afterwards, she excused herself early and went to bed. She was surprisingly tired, given how little she had done, but she'd had a tense couple of weeks. The enforced ocean cruise, that seemed to be a theme in her life these days, actually gave her a welcome respite.
I need a real vacation.
Anya! Miss Creed!
Bima stood in the gangway, holding his SAR-21 by the pistol grip. His eyes were wild.
Anya Creed! You must come with me! We are under attack!
Bima sagged against Anya, and her left arm went around him. She felt wetness on her palm on his back. She pulled him quickly into her small cabin, sat him gently on the deck, then lowered him to his back. The man resisted briefly when she tried to pull the rifle away from him. She twisted it free, taking hold of the pistol grip herself. She snapped off the safety, as her new friends had shown her how that afternoon. A man appeared in the door. He was smaller even than Bhima and wore a dirty yellow rag tied around his head. He held a Kalashnikov leveled from the hip. The look in his eyes said that he didn't expect to find Anya there brandishing an assault rifle. Holding the SAR-21 toward the open door, Anya quickly knelt to examine Bhima. The lower left front of his khaki uniform was maroon with blood. She guessed the slug had hit him in the lower back on that side and punched out through his belly. The good news was there was a distinct small hole visible in the blood-soaked cloth. The bullet hadn't tumbled through his viscera like a miniature circular saw. If it had nicked his kidney, he'd probably be dead before he could get any kind of treatment that would do him any good. If it hadn't, and if he was very lucky, he might not bleed to death. First things first, she told herself. She straightened, went to the door, took two quick looks around the doorframe, left and right down the corridor. She made sure to poke her head out at a different level in case somebody had spotted her the first time. She saw no one. Anya grabbed the dead man by a foot clad in a filthy tennis shoe and dragged him inside. Anya locked the hatch from the inside. Anya guessed somebody had just laid into the vessel with an RPG. She knew it was the favored weapon of both the modern terrorist and 21st century pirate. She went quickly to the porthole. She could not see the main deck, fore or aft. The superstructure spanned the hull from beam to beam. What she did see was blinding yellow-white and blue light beams stabbing the Ozymandias from several directions. She ducked back, just as one swept across the port. It had to be a flotilla of South China Sea pirates. The only terrorists she knew of who boasted a navy that size were the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, but their home island of Sri Lanka lay as far away as Australia. And terrorists seldom mounted an operation as large as this one had to be. Bhima was semi-conscious. With luck, he, or anybody he'd talked to, would dismiss an account of Anya's broadsword as the result of delirium. What mattered was surviving long enough for that to become an issue. Anya made a few slashes at her bunk. She took a handful of linen strips back to Bhima. She made a pad and quickly tied it around his middle. Blood instantly began to seep through it, a spreading stain. She had to hope the crude pressure bandage would staunch the blood loss so he had a chance of not bleeding out. There was nothing she could do about the internal bleeding.
What are you doing, Anya?
Getting out of here, and I'm taking you with me.
Can't. Must stay.
Hear that noise? There have to be 100 pirates swarming this ship. They have automatic weapons, RPGs. You guys are hardcore, but you can't hold out against odds like that.
But we fight to death.
I know. That's why I'm taking you with me.
Anya laced one of Bhima's arms around her neck and stood, in effect deadlifting him in an unbalanced kind of way. Fortunately, he was slight, although with the density of his wire-hard muscles, he probably weighed little less than she did, and she was muscular.
Must stay.
When she straightened, hauling the injured man upright, Anya had threaded the sling of his assault rifle around her right arm, her free arm. Carrying it, she guided him to the door.
No, must go.
Anya reeled the weapon up, then risked two more peeks out, both left and right. There was no one in sight, which was lucky, because she couldn't change head height this time. She dragged Bhima out into the corridor and aft. The ship's stern was closer and seemed to offer the best chance of escape. A hatchway burst open before them. A pair of commandos in their black knight uniforms sprang in and spun back. Their scimitar-like parangs flashed in their hands. Pirates surged in toward them. They fought with swords too, and fat-bladed bolos. The two Rimba Parak commandos were clearly their masters, but disparate numbers would soon tell. The pirates went down, spurting blood. The commandos gave way toward Bhima and Anya.
You see, Anya? We still fight. Let me go. I have to.
Quickly, Anya dropped Bhima in a judo sacrifice throw. A line of holes passed a good 3 feet above Bhima's back, which heaved convulsively as he breathed. Anya rolled him off her so she could stand. Then she helped him up. His eyes were huge in his dark face. He was too stunned to resist or protest as she tottered them forward, refusing to look down, no matter how they slipped and slid on the wet wreckage the 50-caliber machine gun had made of 7 men. Somehow, she got him down the metal steps. The main afterdeck was surprisingly dark. Most of the attacking vessels lay lower in the water and aimed their searchlights upward at the Ozymandias, concentrating on her superstructure. Anya and Bhima stumbled toward the stern. They made it almost halfway before the hatch to her right opened up. Three pirates with rags wrapped around their heads scrambled out. They did not notice the curious four-legged beast lurching at them from the shadows. Anya swung Bhima's assault rifle one-handed towards them, leveled at her hip. The burst raked one man's legs. It also struck the head of the last while he was still on the ladder. He disappeared over the edge. The two pirates on deck had slung their Kalashnikovs to scale the ladder. The one still on his feet struggled to get his weapon off his back and into action. The sling seemed to wrap him like sticky tape. Anya had no mercy. She charged toward him as fast as she could totter. It wasn't accurate shooting, but accurate enough. The third man rolled around, clutching at his shattered legs. He didn't seem to pose much threat. Anya let the empty SAR-21 drop and hauled Bhima to the rail. His legs gave out on him as they reached it. Easing him to the deck, she looked down. Her heart soared as she saw a 20-foot motor launch bobbing there, tied on by a line to the rail. Then it plummeted as she realized it had six pirates aboard, bristling with weapons.